Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Karen, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the year-long workshop themes. Welcome, Karen.
Hey, Jen. Thank you.
Hey. Hey, Karen, can I do a sound check? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well. Can you hear me?
I can. You are a tiny bit faint for me. I can hear you fine, but, you know, it's finally raining here in California, so that always has an impact on our cell signals and such. But good. Sounds like we're on track.
Good.
So thanks for being with us this afternoon to talk about, you know, here we are in January again. It's amazingly hard to believe. And so ready to kick off another theme. And so we thought it would be fun to talk with someone who's had some good experiences with participating in years past. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that's been like for you in your practice participating. I think you've participated in a number of the recent years that we've done, carried a theme through the year. Is that right?
Yes, I don't think I've missed a one.
No wonder we asked you. Perfect.
And it was really fun to go back over my journal and my notes for this past year. I don't have the information from the previous years, but I have saved everything from this last year. And I'm just so in awe of what we were offered and what we were given to practice with, starting with the video workshop.
Yeah. So, yeah, the video workshop being, I'm sure that's on his agenda, but coming right up in actually less than 2 weeks, the kickoff for the theme. And so it sounds like as you went back through your journal for the year, just really seeing all the things that were offered and all that you received from that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just, it's really just so amazing to me. I'm blessed with a lot of willingness to show up and participate, and I think that is really what I feel the most gratitude for. And I feel it's more than a responsibility. It's a genuine love of practice and a feeling of having guided sitting groups, just showing up for everybody, myself included.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so well put. And I love the way you say it. I'm blessed with willingness. Really getting it that it's not something we do, right? We can't really take credit for it. We just feel so much gratitude that it's there. And it's really the main ingredient that we need, isn't it? It's the first book that Sherry wrote. The key is willingness.
Yes, it really is. And this year, just to have the focus of the themes that we've doing every year is just such a wonderful way to stay in practice and have something concrete to participate with.
Yeah, it really is,
isn't
it?
For the whole year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at too, because, you know, it's now been a number of years, more than I realize, where we've had the technology available to us to be able to participate as a whole sangha. You know, if you go back 10 years, I mean, we just didn't have that. And so now we have the ability to do that, but it's really been these last 3-4 years where we've had that theme that brings the whole year together, you know, that brilliance that Ashwini offers to us to pull a theme together and carry us through the year because, you know, January starts strong, right? But it's so easy to lose momentum through the year. So to have that refocusing and all the opportunities that bring us back together is such a brilliant way to keep us on track.
It is, and the themes just unfold into the next one in such a brilliant way. You know, moving from this here now and from last year and, you know, upping our game, and I can't remember all of them, but they've just, one has folded into another, and then this year I'm very excited about, we've had the tools and practicing all year with being in this here now, and then the next step will be just continuing that process of continuing to live within our authenticity.
Yeah. You know, I've heard Sherry say any number of times, that's really my experience. You know, we lay out one of these themes and we go through the year and it feels like, boy, I mean, surely now we've done it, right? I mean, it's all, but then the next one just appears. And I agree with you, the way that they build on one another is so beautiful. And especially for me, I've been looking at that training to live in this here now, right? So training to be here in the present moment, which is an exquisite training. You know, it's one of the simplest things we can do, but boy, conditioning has so much resistance to it. So the training to be able to do that, and then beautiful, emptying your teacup and just being a vessel for life. Wow.
And, you know, and specifically, you know, just to kind of recap the last year, you know, we did the email class that started this off and the drills and working with particular processes and content, and then the intensives that went through the year, how we used the email class kind of into the intensives, where we right. where we had a theme for the week and we got to communicate with a facilitator during the week, and then there was a radio show and the format and the lessons and the teachings are so beautifully written and so poetic and so heartfelt, and it's just such a joyous way for us to practice together.
Exactly. And you know, Karen, as you were saying that, I just saw what a benefit it is also, I think, that each of, or many of the opportunities anyway, are also offered a la carte. So in other words, if you didn't want to participate in the entire year or couldn't, that there are most of the opportunities you can participate in singly. But how beautiful it is to be able to, at the beginning of the year, to stop and look and see what you want for your own practice in the year, and to be able to commit to something that's going to carry you all the way through, so that when you get to those places, which we all do, of, you know, I'm way too busy. You know, practice is great, but I'm way too busy. I just really don't feel like it. I got other things I'm focused on. But if we're already signed up for it, it's on the docket, it really ups our chances that we're actually going to jump in and participate.
It really does. And you know, just to encourage people, you know, it is a, to lay out the financial commitment at the beginning of the year might seem daunting. And over my years and years of practice, I've always, well, it's never failed me that the money shows up. I throw it out there. I'm going to practice is important to me. I'm going to make the financial commitment, and I will find the money to do it.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Yeah. The kind of that, you know, you set the intention and then the whole universe gets behind you and make it happen.
It seems to have happened. It has happened that way. Yes, it's not. Yes, it certainly has. So,
that's great.
If someone, you know, feeling some fear about that, just go for it.
Follow Karen's model. Just get clear that you want to do it and then wait for it to appear. Yeah.
Well, it just, yeah, I mean, because practice is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, there's a time when we begin practice where it feels like, you know, I practice and I have my job and I have my relationship and I have this and I have that. And then after we practice a little, we realize, wow, I'm missing the best part here. What's actually possible is that practice can be the unconditionally loving container that holds my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what the big part of the intention of these year-long focuses that are offered is to offer to the whole Sangha a chance to bring all of your life into practice, which was part of the brilliance of, you know, what you were just pointing at with those practice intensives, is having all the different sort of areas of our lives, money and relationships, and be invited to be in practice, not to be separate from it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And it's just something that I experience more and more each day.
Yeah, so
and,
true.
And it's a result of, it is a result of practicing.
It's exactly.
A result of showing up and participating.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you mentioned several of the components, and many of those are going to be part of the year-long retreat again this year. And all of that will be laid out in much more detail as the days go on, and especially during and after the video workshop that you mentioned. So that's really that's a free offering available to everyone. And that's the way that folks can plug in. And then just one other piece of that is that on January 30th, we have compassionate calendaring workshop scheduled. And so that's a time where, you know, there can be so much on the calendar that it starts to feel like, oh, my gosh, this is overwhelming, and which thing am I going to do? So we thought it would be fun to bust that bamboo as well. And instead of leaving people to swim around and attempt to make those choices themselves, to have a workshop where we look at that through the lens of practice, we look at the process of that and really have a chance to look at that process of what we want to put on our practice calendar with compassion. So that should be fun too.
I'm really looking forward to that. And to have that as a tool, you know, kind of laid out in front of us through the year and through each month, and get to look at that and see what's available and what I've committed to and what I might want to else participate in and then how I can serve.
Yes, exactly. You know, and with all of it, it's so fun that whatever the particular thing that we're looking at in a given year or a given workshop, or to get to hear so many different perspectives on it. You know, people calling into the radio shows, people writing into the email classes, people calling into the practice intensive shows, and then to hear what they have to say. And invariably for me, I can relate to every piece of it, but so often I would have never thought of it in that way. I would have never put it that way. I would have never framed it that way. And it opens something else for me to see in a new way.
Yes. You know, someone can be talking and you think, well, I could have said that.
Exactly. In fact, I'm shocked I didn't.
Because, you know, when we hear something, I remember early on in practice, I was talking to in a guidance appointment, and I said, this is a karmic thing, oh, I wish I were more articulate. And the guide said, well, do you understand what from the aspect of, not, I mean, I think understanding was used loosely, but can you understand what you're hearing? And I said, yes, completely. He said, well, what more?
How more articulate than that do you need to be?
thank you for that. And for me, it's sometimes getting it out of my mouth seems the articulate thing. But it is, it is both. You know, it's receiving the Dharma, receiving the teaching.
I think that's
what was being pointed at.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that had anything to do with what you just said, but.
Well, what's fun about it is that with all of it, we're learning to receive everything from here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Instead of from conditioned mind. Yeah.
Yes. And that's where it is.
It's right. And once we empty our teacup, that's what we have.
Mine feels pretty empty right this minute.
Right this minute. Isn't that lovely? A perfect note to end on.
It is. Thank you so
much. Well, Karen, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Take good care. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Karen. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was
How
a
are
good
you?
Conversation, wasn't it?
That was great. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I'm good. You?
Great. Yes. New year.
It's raining.
It's raining in California, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes. And it's a new year, which is a wonderful thing, even though the whole thing, of course, is totally made up. And we could certainly declare every day the first day of the new year. In fact, I was just talking to somebody who said, you know, I think those folks who decided the first day of spring should be the new year. I think they had it right. And I said, well, let's just do that then. I mean, we can have this one. This is a new year. Then first day of spring, we can have another new year.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's all new. It's all new, isn't it? Every single moment. It's all new.
I've heard that somewhere before.
I think so. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Somebody's mentioned that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Might have been the Buddha or Jesus or one of those people.
Or the guide.
Somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Or one of those people. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm. Well, I'm really grateful to be here. And I have some announcements here, unless there's something else you'd like to share.
No. I'm eager to hear what we're up to. That whole thing was just completely inspiring. That conversation is like, yes.
Yes.
And at the same time, you know, it seems like 100 years ago that we were starting 2015, at least 100 years ago. Doesn't it? I mean, it's forever. When we go back there, you think, wow, that's right. That was that, and we were looking ahead to all of this stuff that we were going to do, and we've done all of this stuff that we were going to do, and it's been glorious. And now here we are again. And, you know, Michael, I guess I did have something to say. The reason that I want to say that and emphasize it is that when people say, gosh, wasn't it last month that we, you know, wasn't, you know, it's coming up on Christmas, and you'll hear somebody say, wasn't it just Christmas a couple of months ago? That person is not paying attention, right? Because when we're paying attention, when we're present, it is that 100 years ago experience. So much has happened in whatever period of time, and you're there for it, right? So time is very, very expansive and spacious. And so if we want 2016 to be hugely spacious and expansive, then we want to be there for every minute of it. And the best way I know to be there for every minute of it is to be practicing awareness all the way through it.
Hmm? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Following every breath.
Every breath. Every minute. Don't miss a thing. Not a thing. Not a second.
Yes.
Because
we never know how long we have.
That's exactly right. We never know. I always make that little joke, you know, we're doing an exercise or something and people will say, well, how long do we have? And I always say, you know, we never know. And it's just a, you know, it's just a little reminder that we fall into that. If I know it's going to be a half hour, then I'll arrange my thinking to fill a half an hour or whatever it is. You know, we want to approach every single second as if this is our last. So we want to be here for it. We want to be participating fully, absolutely, completely, wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. You know it. You know it.
You know it's the truth.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here. Shall we jump in?
Okay. All right.
I won't give you another opening. To.
No, don't give me an opening, Michael. Just plunge ahead. Plunge ahead.
Welcome to Practice Year 2016. Join us for a free video workshop with you, Sherry, on Saturday, January 16th to kick off the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And starting January 30th, the new year-long retreat with the theme Anjali, Emptying Your Teacup, will provide some fabulous practice support in exploring what we have to give up in order to see what we have to offer.
Yes, I'm going to change that official. I'm going to officially change that language. It's what we have to let go. I mean, maybe that's part of what's going to be all revealed to us. But that, you know, give up starts, just sets conditioning off in an ugly, ugly way. So we're going to look at what we need to let go. But if I'm ruining a surprise for anybody, I apologize. But anyway. There we are. Go ahead. What else, Michael?
And for those who would like to get away from it all and deepen conscious compassion and awareness, the upcoming practice weekend, January 22nd through 24th, is the perfect opportunity. The weekend includes guidance, group, and a practice activity while enjoying the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California.
Mm-hmm. Pack your long johns and your rain gear.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to enjoy the support and connection of meditating with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit and a reading from one of Sherry's books. New group times have been added just this week. And for a full schedule, please visit the virtual meditation group webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so for these opportunities and a complete listing of programs and retreats for 2016, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And a couple of reminders, if people could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that would be great. And if you would like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. All right. I think that's it, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Paula from South Carolina.
Oh, hello, Paula.
Hello, Sherry.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing really good.
Great.
I was just listening to your conversation, you and Michael's conversation, and really just dropping into that happiness right here, right now.
Uh-huh.
Whatever year it is.
Whatever year it is. Exactly. Whatever day it is, wherever we are, whatever we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even when it's raining and when it's not raining.
Yeah, for those of us out here, you know, it's a little harder when it's not raining for years on end. But we do attempt to focus on all of the good of that too.
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. I just said that because we've had so much rain on the East Coast, and it's just good to have it not
uh-huh.
rain.
So exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so my one topic is I've been looking at and focus and concentration.
Hmm.
Because I guess it's come up for me because recently, well, I guess towards the end of the year, just say December, I always it's a habit or a, you know, practice to kind of review the previous year's calendar where I keep almost everything written down and then move on to whatever my focus is for the new year. So in
mm-hmm.
this year of, for me, I don't, maybe I didn't hear it too long, but I thought I did, that this was the year of letting go. I wasn't surprised to hear that mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I very methodically kind of wrote out, you know, that my focus for the year is that, and then a monthly focus and even a daily focus. I'm pretty structured in how I organize my life. And what happened about that same time is my sitting meditation became this sort of exercise in trying to ward off my mind from going to any number of other things, all the other things I wanted to focus on, the activities, people coming to visit, jobs I had to do, projects that were coming up for the year. And
busy, busy, busy.
Busy, busy, busy. But, you know, really, my sense is not so much that either purposely or that there really is anything really that more that's added to my calendar than ever. It's about the same. You know, I just kind of tweak things, and so it's not like there's a whole lot more things, just different things, a little few different things this year. Not, but the question is, it was interfering so much in my sitting practice that I brought it up in a guidance call, and I said, you know, I've started to take a sticky pad with me when I sit, because I think if I can just write this down, don't forget to check with such and such, you know, or don't forget this, then I'll get it out of my mind and I'll be able to focus on the meditation. Just be still, be quiet, focus on the breath. And, you know, of course, I haven't been done with doing that a long time, but I got some really good guidance on not bringing that pad in.
Very good. I was going to say, if you talk to somebody from this practice who encouraged those little sticky notes, I was going to have to break the privileged environment and find out who that person was.
Well, I knew. I mean, I said I know this is not a good practice, but I felt at the time I thought, you know, I'm doing this. This is, I've got to find something to help. And I don't know. I guess I really just have questions about if there's other. What I did, mm-hmm. I really just looked at it more. I focused on it a little more, and I saw that not only was I bringing in a sticky pad, but I had started to. I used to bring my cell phone to use a little insight timer for my meditation, and you know that was a little risky, and so I stopped doing that. And then I would bring in my recorder. So maybe I would record some, you know, or listen. And so I stopped doing that. And I just, one of my focuses was no distractions during sitting practice. And mm-hmm. so I stopped bringing anything like that. And that seems to have helped some, but still I just, my mind is not quiet.
Okay, so if I may. There was a peace quote. I wish I could credit the person who said it, but I can't remember who it was. But the gist of it was, if that mind is not who you are, what difference does it make what it's doing? Which I think is a very good point and a subtle point, because you know what it's directing us to is the ability to distinguish between things that we are not accustomed to distinguishing between. So the idea that conditioned mind could be doing what it's doing and attention is on awareness and not disturbed by that is something that can seem a little out there at first. But I offer it to you as a possibility, okay? And so the next piece of it is that what we get trapped into believing is that we are, if we are having a particular experience that we like or enjoy, then it's a good thing. So I'm having a good meditation when my mind is still and calm and I can be present and focused and undisturbed. And that's a good meditation. And when I have one of those, I feel like a good meditator and I had a good meditation, I'm on the right track here. But really what meditation is for is to show us where we are and to offer us what we need to encounter and be able to transcend in our practice. So here you are having this experience. And again, what we get to see is my approach is to figure out to get in relationship with it and try to best it.
Mm.
You with me?
I'm with you. I think. I'm not sure what best it, what that means.
Well, conditioned mind is doing all this and I got to figure out a way to stop it. I got to figure out a way to have it not do that. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, in practice, that's not actually what we're figuring out because we're not figuring out anything. But that activity actually has us giving all of our attention to that process that conditioned mind is doing. And we don't want to do that. Right? We want to ignore it completely.
So what I'm getting, or what I think I'm hearing, if I'm following you, is rather than getting what I want to let go of is this attention on that something's wrong, that because mm-hmm. I'm not, my mind's going here or there. And I want to just observe or notice or step back and be aware, just sort of watching that, I guess.
Well,
that
it's better than that, Paula. Yeah. It's okay. Better than that, okay? The news is better even than that. Because what it can do, what that whole process will allow us to experience is faith and trust. And the faith and trust that we're building, of course, is in life. So we actually, we know this in theory, and on more than a few occasions, we know it in practice. I mean, of our own experience, that we actually don't need conditioned mind at all. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we hear people say, well, and I'm sure you've heard me go off on this little rant, but isn't it really helpful, you know, to get chores done and to, you know, if you have to go to the grocery store, whatever. And my answer is always a resounding no. It is not helpful. It is absolutely not helpful. It doesn't like you. It's not on your side. It's not aware. It's not smart. You know, no, you don't want it to do anything in your life. What you want to do is learn to be guided second by second by second by the intelligence that animates you. And the only way we can do that is to be present, subtly, minutely present in each moment. Yeah?
Yes.
Now, everybody has the experience of, you know, you're getting ready to do something and it just drops in, don't forget the ha-ha, or be sure to pick up the hmm-hmm, or whatever it is. We know that experience, and that's the one we are cultivating, right? So that we're able to live in that level of guidance every moment of our lives. And so when you're sitting in meditation and that starts in, you simply say, whatever I need when I finish the sit, please give me the information. And then you just sit.
Yeah.
And life will deliver exactly of that, what you need in order to get through your day, get through your life. Life will deliver it to you at the perfect time, the perfect place, the perfect way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Just I hear, you know, drop the struggle and just life lead.
Let life lead. Now, what people will say is, yeah, but what if I forget something really important? Well, if we forget something really important, it is our best opportunity to see how we are with ourselves when we forget something that ego considers important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. Do I say, well, that's what happened, so that's what we've got, or do we allow conditioned mind to start beating on us?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that, and I've hung in there and just keep going, keep coming back to the breath, and keep coming back to the counting, and just doing the best I can. But it was just, you know, it for a long time this has not occurred, and I could do the whole session and not feel distracted. But so I think anyway, I just want to say that's
really
helpful.
Right. This is your best opportunity to see how you do with this at this level of practice.
Yes. Yes. Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Okay, Sherry, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Take good care.
Thank you, Paula. You too. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Patty. How
hey,
are you
Sherry.
Doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. Happy New Year.
I'm over my New Year's retreat trying to cough myself to death. So I am I'm in robust good health and deeply, deeply grateful for it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I wanted to talk about the Big Bamboozle, which I've been doing. But
yes.
I don't want to do any spoilers.
Give it away.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know, you know, there's going to be a group kind of effort to do the whole thing. So I didn't know if that was something that I could talk about.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, probably just about everybody is going to pick that book up, and no matter how committed they are, how hard they try, they're going to fall for the old read ahead and see if there are any surprises. So, yeah. And so even if somebody does that, we're still going to go back and do it step by step. So.
Okay. Okay. Well.
Yeah. No danger.
Right. Okay. Cool. Well, this week I'm working on the decision making, and in the duality part, and and so the assignment was to flip a coin to make decisions, and and so I at first I was like, you know, I don't really feel like I'm being tortured about any decisions. Like, I'm feeling like I'm pretty decisive and I don't really need to flip a coin, you know. And then I realized, well, you know, I should probably take a closer look at that.
Yeah, if nothing else, who is pretty decisive? Right?
Right.
Yeah, so
right.
That's great. But who is making my decisions? Let's find out.
Yeah, so then today I just started flipping a coin regardless of if I, you know, thought something was a decision that was hard to make or not. Like, I just, as soon as something dropped in as, you know, a possible thing to do, I would just flip the coin, you know, and see what it said. I have this app on my phone that it's like a, you know, does it sort of electronically, so like I don't actually have to dig out a real coin.
Yeah,
it's for you. And so what I found was that there actually were a lot of decisions that were bugging me, and I didn't even realize that I was going back and forth on them until I started doing the exercise.
I love that.
Yeah, it was just that the conversation about whether I should do something or not was so, I guess, familiar to me that it wasn't registering as a conversation.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that something can be subterranean and in plain sight.
Right.
It seems like it ought to be one or the other, but not both of them simultaneously. But it sure can be, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I've been having so much fun with this because I would just flip a coin and a lot of times as I was doing that, it would become clear to me what my preference was, you know, because I'd be hoping for one outcome or the other. and sometimes I would get the result that I didn't want. And I would just go ahead and do what the coin said.
Good for you. That's freedom.
And it was, you know, because I just saw how that preference was such a source of suffering, you know,
yeah.
Like just wanting the things that I think that I want.
Yeah.
And then when I let go of that and I just did the thing that the coin said to do, then I would find that, you know, it really wasn't so bad doing, you know, the other thing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And in some cases it was even, I found that the choice that I thought that I wanted really probably wouldn't have worked out that well.
Yes. Yes. And it, now for somebody who's not steeped in practice, this can sound like kind of a nutsy a nutsy thing,
yeah, totally
right?
But it is
deep, deep, deep spiritual practice. Because what you're realizing and what you're articulating is that we go along and we're so identified with ego. We so believe, that's me, I'm it, yes, I know, I like that, I don't like that, I want this, I don't want that, and we're just, that's me. I know, don't tell me I don't know what I want and what I like. I do, and I want, and I like that, okay? And then we start doing an exercise like this, and we get to see, well, actually, that's ego identity that is making those decisions. It's actually not, in quotes, and this is where kind of we struggle, it's not me. It's not authenticity, because authenticity is simply present to what is and happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when we're there and present, all of that, I like that, I don't like that, it just goes away. It becomes absolutely irrelevant, right? Because I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's great. What's here? Let's look around. Yeah? It's freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was like I really got to see that all that stuff that really just didn't matter at all. Like these choices that I thought mattered, you know, they didn't matter.
Yes.
I got to actually really experience like the identification with you know, one side or the other, you know, just like at times really feeling like this does matter and there is a right choice here and I better make the right choice.
Yep.
And then seeing that after doing the coin toss, you know, that all of that is a complete illusion.
Yes. It's an ego illusion, right? So you know for yourself in the past and you know for people in your life, I mean, people's lives are ruined by the idea that there is a right way and I have to know what that is. I could make a mistake and my life will be just forever a mess. And people are agonizing over that. And it doesn't matter a fig.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way ego controls human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's huge. Simple little exercise. Wow, that app is quite the little awareness practice app, isn't it? I bet they didn't even think of that when they created it, whoever they are.
Yeah. It's been really fun. And even like this call, like I decided, I thought about calling in and I was like, well, I don't know if I want to. And then I just flipped the coin and it said yes. Said yes, call in. So I did it, and here I am having this conversation with you, and it's awesome. Like I'm, you know, it's great.
Yes, and those voices would have talked you out of it. If you had entertained them, they would have just, oh no, you know, I've got this and that and that. Never mind. No, I'll call next time. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it had said no, I wouldn't have called. But I, you know, that would have been fine too. You know, but it.
And you could flip the coin next Tuesday night.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I just thank you for that exercise. It's been really awesome. And I'm going to continue to just flip away.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, the depth of practice that's involved in that. After you do that for a while, and probably you're already seeing it, you realize these subtle ways of being controlled. You know, it's not like it's screaming, no, no, God, don't do that. It's just, I don't know. And that's how we're controlled, with those subtle little often not even complete words, but the message comes through. You're either steered in this direction or you're steered in that direction. And when we become really subtly aware of that, then we realize once that starts, okay, I know I got to go in the opposite direction. I got it.
Yeah.
Because I know what that's about. We're not feeding that.
Yeah, I can see how that subtle little, you know, conversation is, just draining my energy.
Yes,
it's just like
exactly.
a constant drain on my energy, because then as soon as I curtailed that by flipping the coin, it was like, okay, end of conversation, and then I could just move on. And it was like,
yes,
it really was liberating.
Yes. Yes, it really is. And the energy thing is so important. If people, if we had little meters on us, and people could see how much of their life force is drained out all day long by those subtle little, some of them are conversations. People hear actual conversations in full sentences. But a ton of it is exactly what you're describing, where you can even call it a conversation. And yet you're being maneuvered. You're being maneuvered through life all day long.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if we could see that meter, we would say, oh, no, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Right? But we can't see it. And so until we do an exercise like that, have an experience like that, we have no idea what we're actually capable of, the amount of energy that's available to us, the life force that is actually ours to enjoy. It's enormous.
Yeah.
I love it. Instead of giving it away, Patty, I think you probably inspired people who gotten a little curiosity going. Somebody who doesn't have the big bamboozle might just get with keepitsimple.org and get themselves a copy. Because it's good, isn't it? There's one of those exercises for every week. Right?
It's been really fun. Yeah, it's been really, really fun. I loved all the stuff with distraction and, practicing not multitasking. And, all of that stuff has been so fun. It's just, it's a great workshop every week.
Yeah, good. I'm so glad. You can imagine it was fun to put it together.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun one to do. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about my favorite part, but it's a conversation. It's an interview with a major player in our lives, right? You know the one I mean.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
All right. Well, thank you.
Take good care. Okay.
I will.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. That was a winning conversation, Sherry. It's great.
Practice is marvelous. It really is.
Yes,
I'm hoping we're all demonstrating that. If we're modeling anything, I hope it's that it is way, way, way more fun to practice awareness than not.
I see it. Yeah, I experience it, and I see it in you, and I hear it in the callers, and it's true. It's true.
It's just a joyful way to live.
Yes.
All right. What are we going to do now, Michael?
Well, I flipped a coin, and it came up at. So we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll...
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Well, hello, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Goodness, I didn't expect to be actually driving right now, so I'm going to pull over here.
Oh, very good. Is it raining where you are?
Happy New Year. I've been wanting to look at something. I've been practicing now with you guys for a couple of years, and I was recovering sort of from, like, I'd kind of worked myself into, and I had a lot of karma.
Into what, Kate?
Into
you
exhaustion.
You worked yourself into? Oh, okay.
And I just had kind of this constant propeller to always be doing and pushing and moving, I think, like many. Mm-hmm. And so I've really slowed down in the past couple years. And now what I'm finding is I have this real resistance to bringing back some compassionate discipline, and actually I'm finding it's harder to follow through and set up schedules and routines because I have this sort of backlash against it.
Mm-hmm.
And combined with that, I'm trying to look at the story of feeling tired and what to do when I feel tired, because there's this desire to want to kind of completely check out because it sometimes feels like it's the only thing that's restful, like watching TV, for example, because I think it tunes out the voices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're talking. So I'm thinking you probably know a lot of this. But I'm going to say it anyway, okay? That there is a huge difference between a schedule that works you into an early grave and a schedule that takes care of you, right? So if you keep a schedule, you let conditioned mind keep a schedule where you're just working, and if you're not actually working, you're plugged into something that keeps your conditioned mind revved up, that, you know, you're not eating well, you're not sleeping enough, you have too much caffeine, that sort of thing. That schedule will kill a person. But a schedule that says you need to take time to go to the grocery store and get good food for yourself, and then you need to take time to prepare it, you need to get it on your schedule that you're going to meditate every day, that you're going to record and listen every day, that you're going to exercise every day, and you put that into your schedule so that you don't get to the end of the day and you got talked out of it, that's a very, very different schedule, right? That's a schedule for your heart instead of for conditioned mind. Yeah. So I know you know that. And, of course, the reason that it's working so hard to claim that it really doesn't take care of you to have a schedule is that that schedule so takes care of you and the other schedule so takes care of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the TV thing, I know how it feels. And the truth of the matter is that when you sit down, first of all, I if we were in person, I would be doing a plug an IV into your arm, right? It's just an IV of self-hatred, right? It's conditioned mind on steroids. And it's just, it is the perfect escape for conditioned mind. It loves it when you escape into its world and then you're resting while it's rejuvenating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you're actually distracted And it doesn't need to distract you. So now it can just do its energy-sucking work without any interference from you. Okay. And now, you know, with practice, we don't have shoulds, right? We have a lot of, well, that would be a good place to look and see. So one of the things that we can do is practice with something like that. It's not a throw your television out. That doesn't do any good anymore. You know, we used to say that, but now everything's on the internet, and then you have to throw your computer out, and nobody's going to do that, okay? Or your phone, and nobody's going to do that. So so we really do have to use our own awareness to make decisions for ourselves, right? Because those sorts of cut-and-dried, I'll just get it out of my life. You know, I'll just take all the sugar out of my house, and then I won't be tempted to. That really doesn't work because our lives are just filled with all of these things that really don't take care of us. And there's tremendous support for indulging in all of those, right? So, in fact, the conversation that we're having, I wouldn't even try to have with just about everybody on the planet because it's just so against what people believe. Of course, when you've worked hard at the end of the day, what you want to do is eat something you don't have to cook and drink enough that your nervous system calms down, and then you just want to sit there and zone out. That is taking care of ourselves in America. So what would it be then if you didn't do that? What would take that energy that's been draining out of you all day long and give it back to you? Now, a few of my favorite suggestions. Recording and listening. Okay, to have recordings that you listen to that tell you who you are and what your life is about and what you want for yourself and what's important to you and why making an effort for you is an effort that you want to make, how committed you are to taking care of yourself, to having good health and living the longest, best life that you possibly can and to live in joy. And then you know, you talk about the things that you find joyful, and you have the poems and the quotes and the songs and the everything else, and you give all of your attention to that and just watch what happens to your energy system.
Okay. And that's just a karmic story that's hard.
Oh.
Like when you're...
You better know it. That is ego desperate for you to believe that. Absolutely desperate for you to believe that. Because do you do recording and listening, Kate?
I do.
You can tell me.
To be more regular.
Okay. Okay.
I'm doing
the headlights, right?
On that
oh God, I don't answer that question. So
I could be better.
We all could. God knows we all could. But the thing about it is, you know, start with things. Are there people that you love, that you really love?
Yes.
Okay, that's another one of those trick questions. Sometimes people want to go, you know, not really. You know, I'm okay with, but really, no. But anything that takes you to an experience of love, of kindness, of compassion, of generosity, any of those center qualities, you talk about that. You talk about your experience. Do you like nature?
Yes, love it.
What do you like in nature?
Most everything, but taking walks outside and looking at trees and animals and the wind and the sun.
Okay. So these are the kinds of recordings that you want to make. You know, you just go for a walk, and you look around at everything you love. I'm fond of, you know, going up to trees and telling them all of what I consider to be their most beautiful features. You know, I love the way that branch goes across there. I love the, you know, I so appreciate the color of your bark is just amazing, and you're so tall and stately and beautiful and gorgeous. Oh, I love you. Okay? And that's the world that you want to begin to live in. Now, when you come home from you work, right? You go to work now?
Yes, but that's another thing that's schedule-wise a bit challenging is I've freed up my schedule to have a very flexible and open schedule, and it actually is creating a whole set of different problems.
Yeah, it does, because it's harder to get on the schedule. But here's what you can do with that, okay? Then we'll address that one down the road a little bit. But what you can do is have these recordings ready for you when you're coming home from work. Because this is the one that we want to focus on right now, is your evenings, right? Let's handle those evenings. And so you have recordings around going to the grocery store and what you're going to buy and how amazing it is to have all of this stuff and all of these choices and what's good for you and you need this and this and this and this, and you're committed to providing that for yourself, just like you would if you were, you know, your very own little girl, and you want to make sure that you have all the proper nutrition and it tastes really good and all of those kinds of things. And you have recordings around eating so that you're really appreciating the food and appreciating your body, and you can just feel the nourishment becoming a part of you and sustaining you and that sort of thing. And you can also be listening to recordings about what you love and that. But on the way home, that's when you really want to focus on these are the things I love. This is what I love about life. This is what brings me joy. This is what I'm grateful for. This is why I'm glad to be alive, why I'm grateful to be alive right now, and I'm grateful to be me alive right now. Okay? And you want to just listen, make enough of those that you can listen to them, and you fine-tune them, you re-record them, you know, whatever it is, until you get these recordings that you can't wait to listen to, and you just watch how they transport you from the dark room or the dark gray room into the light room, how they bring you into the present and remind you of who you are and what's important to you and all of that. Okay, and that's your focus, to create that. So you're going to create your own, the equivalent of your own television show, right, where, you know, you have these episodes, and you're listening to them, and you're listening to them as you come in the house, and you're listening to them as you prepare your dinner, and if you like to take hot baths, you get in the bathtub, and you take a nice hot bath, and you listen to them, and watch what happens to your energy system.
Okay.
The other thing to watch as you're doing it is the massive amount of resistance that will come up.
Yeah, I feel it even listening to it, so.
That's right. That's right. And now here's the one for everybody, okay? So if you called me up and you said, you know, I'm having trouble in these areas of my life, and this is what I'm thinking about doing. I'm thinking about doing some recordings that would help me focus on what's really true in my life and what's real and what I value. And I say, no, Kate, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't do that. No, that's way too hard. That's way too hard. What do you like on TV? Yeah, watch that. You know, if there isn't anything on there, you know, there are always things, Netflix, get Netflix. You know, there's always something. Don't do that. Don't do it. Meditate? No. Now, that is way too hard. You've had a really hard day. Life is really stressful. You can't add that kind of pressure. No, don't do that. That's stupid. These are really bad ideas, Kate. How would you think I feel about you?
Oh.
Do I like you?
No.
No. In fact, I would be rooting for your failure and demise, right?
Yeah, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. So you want to just keep that in mind. You're going to hit resistance like nothing you've ever hit before. If you have a copy of the resistance book, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, now would be a good time to pull it out and start rereading it.
Okay. I will do that.
Yeah. And the main thing that I want to underline is watch the changes in your energy system. Watch what happens when that negative conversation is there in your head. Watch what happens when you turn your attention to all of the good things in life. Just watch that shift and you will very quickly move to, I want the this here now life experience, not that other something wrong, not enough experience.
Okay.
Okay.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Good. And let me know how it goes, okay? We got more steps we can take, but this is a good
okay.
one for right now.
All right.
Thanks,
perfect.
Kate.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kate. And thank you, Sherry, for those reminders for all of us. Really helpful.
Mm. Oh, good, good.
And we have about 5 minutes to the hour here. Would you like to talk
Let's
to
do
one
it.
More?
Let's do it. Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara from Australia.
Well, hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm a bit surprised to get on, and I just got the low battery thing on my phone, so I'm frantically trying to set my charger up.
Oh, well, we only have 5 minutes, so everything is conspiring to make this a brief conversation, right?
That's right. Well, I've loved listening to everybody, and I'd been thinking at the beginning of the call, oh, maybe I should press star six, and I hadn't done it, and then when I heard the caller talk about tossing a coin, I tossed a coin, so pressed star six, and here I am.
And here
yeah.
you are. Well, give us a little update on Barbara in practice.
Well, I was quite sort of also inspired to call in also from listening to the first caller and the question about meditation practice, and yeah, I've just got along those lines, just wanting to ask around my meditation practice. And so what I've noticed for the last couple of years, really, since I got sort of quite unwell again, is in my practice, I'm constantly kind of going away, coming back, going away, coming back. I don't seem to be able to stay on the breath for very long at all. I don't necessarily go away for very long, but mm-hmm. it's constant. It's like mm-hmm. the mind is very busy, and the tireder mm-hmm. I am, so the more fatigued I am, the less it feels that I can direct my attention and kind of keep my attention. But I feel like I can hold the awareness of that, but the actual
yes.
attention feels really affected.
Yes.
So
yes,
yeah.
This is a really important distinction, isn't it? That's
yeah.
when I started out with that, if that mind is not you, what difference does it make what it's doing? There it is. So the attention is off darting around with all of this stuff, and you're aware of holding all of that in awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a part of me that's like, it feels harder or it feels less pleasant, probably. Or, you know, prior to getting really unwell again, I was sort of having, you know, these really expansive, still mind kind of open experiences in practice. And that just rarely happens now for kind of a few years. So, but I'm practicing and I'm experiencing it. More presence in my life and more, you know, I'm definitely experiencing the benefit of practice, but
yes.
yeah, there's
yes.
there's that.
And to me, where that leaves us is in humility and gratitude, right? So over the years, I've had a number of people actually tell me about essentially having their life ruined over an awakening experience. So they were going along in their life, sometimes before practice, right? And all the light came on for whatever period of time. And it was grand and glorious and ecstatic and all of those kinds of things. And then it went away. And the whole focus of their life became wanting that experience again, trying to have that experience again. And invariably, I offered them a perspective that I never thought was, you know, very popular, but I still think it's a good one, which is, how about be grateful that it happened once? Because almost everybody who's born on this planet will not have that kind of experience in their lifetime. Right? So what can sustain you when practice is not, it's kind of a, it's like training a puppy, right, with that with that attention, right? Come on back. come on back. Or dealing with a toddler, right? It's just kind of steering them around and trying to keep them on course. And to go to that place of, and yet there have been moments. Oh, my goodness, I have had such moments of just pure joy, pure pleasure, bliss in this practice. And right now it's not so much that way. But this is interesting too. And I'm grateful for those.
Yeah, I guess it felt interesting to me that I can really see clearly that my physical condition definitely affects my attention, but it doesn't affect my awareness.
Oh my God. That is so huge.
Yeah.
That is so big, Barbara.
Okay, good. Because I've sort of felt like that's something not right or something.
Well, when let me just ask you this. So sitting here right now, and I am sitting, in awareness, I could not tell you anything about myself. I couldn't tell you my size, my shape, my gender, my age, my anything in awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when attention does its thing that we unfortunately, sadly, trained it to do, which is go to something and pull up a piece of information and reach a conclusion, then I can tell you, okay, well, I'm this person in this place, and you know, I weigh this much, I'm this tall, and I'm this old, and I'm okay. But it's all a story, right? There's a way in which I'm only surmising that, because in awareness, I don't have any of those experiences, because there is no I to have those experiences. The I is generated by what attention is doing and the conclusions and meanings that come from that, those habitual karmic assumptions, right?
Yeah, great, yeah. Okay. This will be good to listen back to.
Yes, and I have a feeling that your meditations are going to get a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah? And it's going to be, I'll give you two big hints about why I think this is so. One, you're just going to see this process in the way that I'm describing it to you. And you're going to get way more interested in what is happening in awareness. If we can say it this way, what awareness is doing, right? And you're going to be way more interested in having attention focused on awareness.
Okay.
Now it's still going to be the training process, right? Because attention isn't going to say, "Oh, okay, you want me to do that," right? that's not the relationship we have with it, right? So it's still the puppy thing. It's still the training. But each time you come back to awareness, and attention is on awareness, and you're aware of attention, your experience is going to be very, very different. And I suspect there will not be a lot of room for a conversation about what you're experiencing.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you, Sherry.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited.
Tossing the coin.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take good
okay.
care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And thank you, Sherry, for another great open air. I feel like
oh, my
I have
pleasure.
A lot of
Thank
great,
you.
Yeah, I feel like I have a lot of great practices to look at this week with meditation
yeah.
and coin flipping and all of that.
I'm telling you, it's never a dull moment.
Never yeah. a dull moment.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, Michael. Talk to you
Thank
next
you,
week.
Sherry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.